Welcome back to another episode of The Textual Talk. In today's episode, HD and Cyber Shorty are talking about all the hottest cyber and tech news that's happened the last week. First, the crew takes on the silence of black women in tech social media, reflecting on why all those day in the life tech videos on TikTok suddenly disappeared. Is this the new reality of RTO, shifting ties and tech roles, oversharing regrets, or something deeper about online hate and gatekeeping? The hosts dig deep into the layered reasons behind the social shift, including career pivots, layoffs, and AI changing the job landscape. Then, they break down the latest scandal. The T-App was hacked again. This time, private messages and system info were leaked en masse, and the fallout is real. That's just the start. The conversation turns from breaches in privacy to corporate accountability, ramifications of oversharing, and even defamation lawsuits. From there, it's a rapid-fire roundup. Ransomware attacks, disrupting public services in St. Paul, massive cybersecurity mergers. What does Palo Alto's $25 billion acquisition of CyberArk mean for the industry? How kids' safety tech like AirTags, tracking, and Skechers shoes can be a double-edged sword? And deep dives into a real click-fix attack. Schemes tricking users into installing malware on their machine. Of course, they don't forget to share lessons on AI hiring biases from Workday, the evolving struggles of onboarding in tech jobs, and the shadiest side of toxic workplace collaboration. Stealing ideas, anyone? It's all here. The latest hacks, hot takes, workplace cautionary tales, and a few laughs along the way. Hit play and get caught up on everything that tech world doesn't want you to know. This tea is piping hot and not to be missed. Now, on to today's episode.
What happened to all those black women in tech videos? Are y'all not working in tech anymore? I swear y'all was up and down my For You page showing me how much y'all make, how y'all just be at home in pajamas, making bank, how y'all off work for a holiday and still got paid. Y'all not, what happened, babe? Do y'all still work at these jobs? And don't get me started on the ones that was doing resume writing and the ones who created courses trying to show y'all how to break into tech. Where y'all at?
Like, that video for her blew up and got crazy and very contentious. And I think, what did I say on that video? I'm not going to share it. But let me see if I can find my comment on that video, because I don't know if I even... that I like it or not.
I'll tell you exactly where they at.
Where they at?
They is still in tech and they are being quiet because they want to keep their jobs. I think when that, what do we call that moment? When that moment was a moment, when people started realizing the implications of all of that oversharing, people definitely pull back significantly on what it is that they share and record, whether they're working or in the office.
Yeah, for sure. So one of my friends, I could not think of her name right now. And I have her number and everything. She was dope on here back in the day. She says, the nicest answer I can give you, we are still here. The tougher answer is, even if you're not in tech, many other jobs will be automated, outsourced, or AI can deliver. So many entry-level jobs have disappeared. The people that still trying to put y'all on, they are considered scammers. The people that tell y'all the truth, y'all don't want it. Ask where the creators who say you don't need an education. The barter said the AI table is often a master's and have to be in a PhD program. So now y'all stuck with influencers who can't get a job either. But loud, clear-talking people, money. Morgan Psych MP, I don't have a big platform. I can still clear a room. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, her name is, I cannot think of her name. She's dope though. She was supposed to come on the show. I need to actually check on her and see whenever she wanna come on.
But what do you think?
Fanta Marie. She's been on the show. She said, we here, I'm just growing in my role, so I can't post as much anymore and it breaks my heart. And so my comment was, a lot of it stopped because RTO and people started hating on the tech women. And the girl was like, I'm sorry, the woman. No offense if you see this. I'll actually tag the creator in this video as well. I definitely experienced hate from the lead when I was in tech sales. And I said, and I think some people realize they might have overshared some aspects of the day in the life. As for the coaching stuff, I'm still here. And Jamal. And
I didn't even see necessarily a lot of people like, this is what I'm talking about in this meeting per se. But I think that even just showing too much, even though it still wasn't a lot, became too much. You got the HR, you got companies sending out reminders about their social media policies and stuff like that. So, like, for example, you don't see people who work at Apple online ever.
Yeah.
Well, talking about a day in a life. Wouldn't.
So here's the thing, and this is one of the things that I used to tell the people that are new to the space. A lot of the people at the time pandemic happened, I had already been in, what's this, like 2012 or whatever. When I started posting in 2020, even my day in the life was a real day in the life. It wasn't me doing stuff. Granted, at that time, I had a lot of flexibility in my role where I could say, hey, I'm finna go get a haircut, or yo, on my lunch, I'm gonna get a massage. I may be back a little later. I wasn't showing none of that. I actually, my day in the life, if we pull up my day in the life on YouTube right now, you'll see the comments saying, hey, thank you for showing us, like, yo, you actually, what you actually doing versus brushing your teeth, going to get a latte, all the stuff. So all the things, like, first, I was making people envious of them was one, acting like they weren't doing any work, and that made people hot. Two, showing too much. They were showing where they worked, the companies, all that. Like, even when I did like two walkthroughs, if people can go back and find them, when I was working for Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, I did my day in the life, but it was really just showcasing like the new place that I worked at. And I didn't show too much then. Like, you really didn't know who I worked for unless you just possibly knew the building and just knew like my LinkedIn or whatever. And that's another reason too, why I have my current employer always private while I make content like this, because I know I say whether how I feel outlandish. I don't ever want anybody to say like, hey, I'm speaking on behalf of the company. I'm not. These are my thoughts, because people, they do that. They look for where people work at. They try to get you like rolled up and fired. And nobody got tired of it. And honestly, a lot of them had just got in and they really wasn't working in tech. A lot of the people who had just got in, they did figure out ways how to finesse and show other people how to get in, because the barrier entry was low in 2020 to 2022.
It was.
That's why so many people got hired. And that's why after that, some of those people, a lot of people got fired, because a lot of them weren't doing work. That's something that Tavion and I talked about on the episode. I forgot what it was. My second in-person episode. It was like a lot of people were not doing work. You even had a lot of people that were hired at the Metas, the Facebooks, the Apples, say, hey, we weren't working. We just got hired. So their competitors wouldn't hire them. So it's a combination of things. And people are back in the office. So it's just that. But these freaking headphones, whenever you press the top, it'll start playing whatever you stop last playing. So it'd be playing in my ear. But no, I don't know. I think it was cool. They were getting mad. One person was like, well, black people have been, you know, laid off the most. You know, yada, 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 which is true, I think, from a statistic standpoint. I think they have. But, yeah, I think everybody just laying low, minding their business. A lot of people meant to do well. It was people that meant to do well by showing what they did. And then there were the people who wanted to just throw it in your face. Like, aha, brokies, y'all got to go in the office. I'm getting my pedicure and I'm working. Like, most people who did post something like that, it was on their story. It wasn't a whole TikTok video.
I think that it was a cursing and a bless. It was a blessing. I think it was a blessing because depending on who you were following and watching, you may have gotten a more realistic understanding of what this role entails, like what type of meetings that they're having and things like that. But then, like you said, you had like the flexors and, you know, the people who weren't maybe as humble.
Yeah, no, for sure. But let me do this. If you're still rocking with us right now, welcome back to another episode of the Technical Talk Podcast. We got HD in here in the building today. We got Cyber Shorty here. And we're trying something out new for y'all. We are trying to improve, so that's why we started with that today. But if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any media player, please follow the podcast. Please leave us a review. That helps out a lot. Like, for real, just leave us a review. It's simple. You can say you hate it for all I care. It's still a review. And if you're on YouTube right now, all you got to do is just hit the like button. That's all you got to do. Thumbs up or boop the like button, as Nate likes to say. But today we want to continue on to some of the stuff we talked about on last week's episode, especially an update where we talked about the T-App was hacked. Now, the second iteration of that is not only was it hacked, people's DMs and everything became visible. And we got another video to a little bit of comedic relief for y'all to laugh at that and talk about something that's actually serious. And I thought y'all enjoyed that as well.
Well, the T app just got breached again. This time, all y'all private messages with all y'all information that y'all exchanged has been leaked. And yes, it's updated all the way to 2025 July. So come to find out, the T app wasn't being completely honest, claiming that everything was secured. It was just old stuff. You see, shotties were messaging other shotties on the T app, getting Instagrams, getting locations, talking about dudes that they were posting, and all those messages were leaked. I'm talking all the way from when they started, currently to 2025. That's why you see the T app just removed your ability to DM one another. So again, all you shotties that posted dudes and you were saying crazy stuff and you were texting another woman about the dude and y'all shared information. Yeah, the dude that you're talking about might have that info. So again, protect yourself. Like, now it's so bad the FBI has come in and trying to offer help to people whose information got leaked through the DMs and all that. Y'all keep thinking the T-app is just a safe haven for y'all to go talking about dudes, especially y'all that's spreading false information.
That's crazy.
Hey, I pray for y'all.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it got turned up like that. I think that goes to show how important it is when you have an idea and you orchestrate that idea that you also seek some consultantship, because I'm sure they could have benefited from a consultant to help them consider things like, how are you protecting this data? And blah, blah, blah.
I think it's that, but they also didn't care. Because once they started just lying on people and running their names down, that's when the app got so popular. That's when people couldn't even get access to the app.
For sure.
So real admins would have said, hey, this is not what this is for. They would have nipped it in the bud then and started removing posts like that. And
You're right.
Yeah, so now they probably will face some defamation suits, because this is way more egregious than how that woman trying to get over and get money from Shannon Sharp talking about defamation, when all they did was read the post from social media and they took most of them down outside of one, probably because they just forgot about it. And she literally just trying to get some money. I'm like, I think her business is, I don't care. You ain't going to sue me because I'm too small. I think she has let me back up. For the people that don't know, there's that situation with Usher and that lady that went viral with the cherries. And everybody made up something, I guess, that she was married, but she wasn't married. Turns to come to find out, like, she wasn't married or whatever, but she still was doing too much. And she has a business, and she says allegedly that a parent found out about her from Shannon Sharp show or whatever. But my thing is, if you got a professional business, why are you being unprofessional at the Usher show? Like,
was that the lady that was flicking her tongue all over that chair?
Yeah.
Ooh, she was cutting up.
She knew she was going to be recorded, but just, you want to try to go after the big fish just because you just seen recently that he settled. But I'm like, I don't think she's going to get a dime, because it's like, it wasn't something they talked about every day where they actually tried to defame the lady. And the fact that they removed most of them when they were contacted and they forgot. So they're actually going to show, like, hey, look, we tried to remove it. We thought, like most people, when the story first came out, we thought you was married. We wasn't like saying it was fact. And nobody has to always say, like, I hate the non-lawyers, I'm not a lawyer either, but I know for a fact every time you read something, you don't have to say allegedly, unless you said, hey, this is a fact. Like, they never stated that this is a fact. They just read and reacted to social media clips like most everybody else do, like we do. So I mean, a lot of times we like to read straight from the article, so that way if it's on us, it's going to be on the article when they add updates to everything. But bottom line is, the T app was greasy, and we saw who the owner was. Matter of fact, you could talk while I figure that out. So I'm going to double check who this owner is.
I just can't believe the T-app really kind of blew up like that. I know a lot of people, like I told you, in my city were like in a queue, it seems like, from what I gained from their post. There was an approval waiting period, which we know you got to take the selfie. But I don't know how long that actually took for you to take the selfie, be validated, and then from that validation receive access. But a lot of people were pending, and obviously I'm sure once people got on there that they were able to go ahead and then upload or ask questions about any of the men that they know.
So here's the founder. You know what? He ain't got that many connections. Hey, maybe we can give him some consultation on how to stay secure. T-App, if y'all want us to sponsor the show, we can help you out, because you should know, being like, yeah, product management and working at Salesforce, you definitely should have had this done much better. So, Mr. Sean Cook, if you need some help, let us know. And, you know, don't be surprised if another, like I said, the coffee app may come back where it's super secure, where you can't DM anybody and go out their neck.
The DMs being exposed is crazy. All right. So, St. Paul was hit by a cyber attack on July 25th that actually went and disrupted their public services and city operations. The nature of the attack, they didn't super disclose, but I thought it was interesting that they activated the National Guard, their cyber team, to help support those recovery efforts, because what happened, and it sounds like ransomware, what happened was too complex for the city alone to handle. And I don't know if that too complex stems from a lack of skill, a lack of training, or a lack of resources, a lack of financial backing in order to complete the investigation. But as a result of that particular attack, the government systems were taken offline. There was a Wi-Fi outage citywide. And then they're also talking about a potential breach of any employee data. So if you think about a lot of the attacks that have been hitting infrastructure, it has been more ransomware based. So I think it'll be interesting to kind of see how that unfolds. But I also thought it was commendable that they did tell the truth, and just noting that what they were experiencing was a little bit too complex for them to try to tackle alone. I think a lot of the times you lead with ego and you get yourself in a bad situation that you're not able to get out of. Like, there was a breach that I think it was one of those spyware apps that we talked about, and it got so, I don't remember which one it was, but the owner ended up deleting the cloud resource that everything was stored on. Like, he deleted the entire account because it was so bad. He couldn't get traction on and get things. He couldn't get order, basically. So he just deleted the entire workspace, basically.
Yeah. And I'm briefly looking at the article, and I want to say, so I see right here it says the FBI and two national cybersecurity firms have been brought on to mitigate the attack, but it hasn't been enough. So I'm assuming they probably got hit up Google for Mandiant and maybe CrowdStrike, or they got other things. But I said, when they said two national, I'm just going to say those two. But this really boils down to what typically happens with government and state. And St. Paul, that actually is a, let me see.
Minneapolis,
Minnesota, where the Vikings are. So if they hit the actual city, then city, state, federal, they don't pay enough for the right talent. And a lot of their stuff is, what you call people that are old?
Wait, it's coming. Wait, it is.
It's an A name.
Wait, it's not grandfathered. It's
antiques. So yeah. Antiquated.
I would also say that they don't have a lot of people as well. They're not going to have a SOC with 50 people in it or 20 people. It's usually like 5 people.
Yeah, well, they don't even need that. I just think the fact that a lot of these legacy systems, most of the time they are secure, but then there's just so much stuff that's happened and transpired. And this goes into another conversation of everybody talking about the cloud. And one of my ex-friends, he made a good point. He said, hey, AWS is for the new apps. Azure is for legacy. And being, as I said, that you should actually look into learning Azure versus AWS right now, because they just crossed $75 billion in revenue. That's a lot. I don't know how much AWS is, but that's a lot for those legacy apps. On top of, I think Azure is a little bit more user friendly. There we go. User friendly. Than AWS started out, because typically a lot of people already have a Windows background before going straight into AWS. So I say go ahead and get the AZ900 and get it cracking.
AZ900.
Yeah, I just got out a whole roadmap for a consultation that pretty much focused on like, hey, I said, a lot of people gonna tell you to go AWS, but I'm gonna tell you to go right here to this AZ900 right here. I was like, and the fact that anybody can do it.
I think, to me, yes, it is like obviously focused in on Azure, but to me, it's very cloud fundamentals.
That's what it
and
is,
those
though.
Principles apply. Yeah, they apply across whatever solution, you know.
And it's easy to pick up. And then, like I said, I like the cloud certifications because they make you do stuff and set up services throughout studying for it versus you just studying and not doing anything with it.
Yep.
And that's the whole benefit of that. So with you covering that, I wanted to actually talk really quickly about, so last week I talked about Palo Alto was technically eyeing to purchase or acquisition SentinelOne, which probably was just smoke and mirrors just to make SentinelOne's stock price go up. That's how they play. But news this past week was Palo Alto Networks agrees to buy CyberArk for $25 billion. As reported by TechCrunch on July 30th, this strategic move aims to strengthen Palo Alto Network's security portfolio, integrating CyberArk's privileged access management solutions with their existing network, cloud, and security operations offerings. The acquisition reflects increasing consolidation in the cybersecurity market, creating a more comprehensive competitor and highlighting the value of CyberArk's expertise in protecting critical credentials. The industry anticipates the integration's impact on the broader cybersecurity ecosystem. That's facts because I want to say CyberArk is really more, of course, privileged access management, but I want to say CyberArk is definitely one of those things that they do a lot in the Fed space. And where you say, hey, needs CyberArk, what you call it? CyberArk experience. And Palo Alto was just Thanos out here. Last year, we talked about them buying Dig Security, and they got Talon Security, and they got Bridge Crew. Like they are, and they just bought, they're trying to still keep up with Wiz. And then we also talked about last year how Splunk was acquired by Cisco. So everything is changing, man. This is a big money game that we're talking about right here. And it's just interesting to see what happens. So if you are investing in Palo Alto, that's a good buy. Or you listening to us right now, I would say keep investing in them. I don't see them slowing down. They've acquired these products and they are all very so much still good products. Well, even Prisma's okay, but it's not better than Wiz, which is why everybody's moving towards Wiz instead of Prisma. So they might have to fix Prisma because it's not doing what Wiz do. Maybe Dig Security can help them out with that. But I thought that was just something cool to know, especially we're so siloed in on the cybersecurity and the news tip that, hey, it's also all about making money at the end of the day. And that's what you have to tell people in interviews as well. Like, hey, I'm trying to protect this so we keep on making money.
A billy, 2 billion, 2.5. Yeah.
No, it's not two and a half. 25 billion.
Wait, I thought it said 2.5.
No, that's why I went to the actual article. It's 25 billion.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm way off. Some billies.
Yeah, AI missed it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For sure. You got a lot of good stuff on here. You probably just, what you did? You just threw your stuff in ChatGPT and just had it like do it for you?
You knew it. Yup. So Skechers has quietly launched a line of child sneakers or children's sneakers. And they actually have a built-in compartment in the heel that's hidden and it's designed to hold an ear tag. So if you're a parent you're looking to track your child's location or at least their shoes, you'll be able to do so using this technology. It's not an official Apple or Skechers partnership. They really just designed it around that technology. But AirTag technology, it uses Bluetooth to ping any nearby Apple devices, and that will then relay that approximate location to that particular AirTag owner. So they say that it works best in populated areas, but it works worse in more fast moving situations, like if you're on a bus, for example. But I think that there are obviously good intentions there, tracking young children, potential future use for even any elderly adults who may have dementia or other health concerns. But I could also see the risk associated with that. We know AirTags being used to stalk people or just normalize that technology that we use to track should be hidden. But when I was thinking about it from like the perspective of maybe any parents who have a child that is more difficult to keep still or just retain their whereabouts, maybe they have some sort of issues that they're dealing with. That could be like you want to take your baby to the park, right? And they're known to just kind of run off. At least you have that tracker on them to know, okay, they're in this vicinity, just making it a lot easier. I just can't imagine a parent that's struggling with like a child maybe that's like autistic and may just kind of run off, or even if you're at the mall, no matter where you're at, I could see the benefit from parents from kind of like that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think of the abuse case of attackers or creepy people figuring out like stuff about this. And so definitely not like, I don't know, like you just got to always check. If you got shoes like this, you should always check the shoe every day. If you put an AirTag in it, like just make sure yours is still in there and not a new one. So somebody's following your kids home, just that different things. And like I said, with technology still increasing and we always still worried about security, there has to be, like I said, an upgraded awareness of cybersecurity stuff for these things. So, okay, if you're going to do this, this is what you need to make sure happens. And yeah, that's what I would just leave it at. But I do think it's a good deal because I've seen stuff like that, especially like my mom was sending me something that some parents have for like nonverbal kids, like in case there's an emergency, there's a little thing.
Is it a bracelet?
It's like a little thing that goes in a backpack where you can use the your Apple thing to pull up the contact ID or whatever, like to bump it.
I've seen that.
So I was telling myself, I think it's a good idea, but it could be bad if somebody looking at your child and okay, you know, hey, I got your kid or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I hate that I have to think cynical, but that's kind of how I am about my kids.
The only other thing I'm thinking about is if they actually tested like the damage that it can withstand, right? If it gets wet, is it going to harm the, you know, how technology just can spoil and soil and like a busted battery situation. Like, that's what I'm thinking about.
And I'll also
I do think overall they have good intentions.
Yeah. And I was going to also add that when you said, you know, the kid runs off, hey, parents, that's why you got to be in shape. I be seeing too many times y'all falling, losing balance and stuff because y'all not in shape.
I think it's also important to know that watching is an active activity. Like if you're watching your kids at the park, it's not a, I'm reading my book. It's anymore. Like back in the day, I feel like you could go to the park, read a book, right? Now you need to actively...
I don't think you could then, though. Honestly.
I don't know.
Unless you're in your own backyard or you're on your land.
Like if it's not a lot of people at the park is kind of like what I'm thinking about. It's like two other kids, three other kids at the park, so you can spot who's who and where they're at.
I think it's just still tough. Anytime you like take your eyes off your kid for like 5 minutes, you just never know.
5 minutes is a long time.
And these kids are more inquisitive. These kids are different nowadays. Like back then, if you told a kid like my age back in the day, hey, I'm leaving the house and open the door for nobody, they gonna listen. I don't care if you know them. I did that to one of my aunt's friends and they still laugh at it to this day because we had a glass door at my aunt's house. And she just standing at the door knocking in. I just looked at her and I kept watching TV. And she said, that little boy would not let me in. She was like, well, I told him don't let nobody in. Even like afterwards, they was telling me, she should have told me, hey, my friend so-and-so was coming by. You can let her in. But I'm like, I'm going to do exactly what she told me.
You did right.
That's why it's funny. Direction. We laugh at it all the time. But that's funny enough, like doing that actually had led me to be like looked at us to be older. So I could always like do more because it's like, okay, he gonna do what we told him to do. He ain't gonna play around and do stupid stuff. So that helped me out a lot as I went through life. So briefly this past week, Trump gave a warning to tech firms against hiring Indians, highlighting a significant stance regarding employment practices within American technology sector, addressing concerns raised by Trump about the hiring of Indian professionals by U.S. tech companies. This is worse, hell. I don't like this. I'm going to actually summarize it myself then. Let's scratch all that. So there is an article that came out that Trump's talking about put America first. And people have various viewpoints about it. It was about hiring Indians. And so I think this is a very vague title. Are you talking about the people that are in America? Or are you telling the companies not to outsource? Because I agree with the outsourcing thing, because y'all pay like them pennies on a dollar, and the work is most of the time it's not good. And that does hurt people. Like, if you want to do the follow the sun model, why not just find some US people that can work at night versus having to hire them? I get that the goal is to make money, but eventually you're going to outsource an AI yourselves out of like your company's. It'll work for a little while until it backfires. That's how I feel about AI. So let me see. At an AI summit in Washington on Wednesday, Trump warned the companies that those days are over and said many of our largest tech companies have reaped the blessings of American freedom while building their factories in China, hiring workers in India, and slashing profits in Ireland. You know that. He added, all the while dismissing and even censoring their fellow citizens right here at home under President Trump, those days are over. Trump encouraged the tech companies to adopt a more patriotic approach. We need U.S. technology companies to be all in for America. We want you to put America first. You have to do that. That's all we ask. Okay. So, yeah, that's probably, I know he's been trying to push for like manufacturing the factories to be over here, which I don't know how long that'll take. You know, that we have all these tariff talks, but that's still a big concern about all this outsourcing and nearshoring. And you see this happen a lot, and to where that's what happened to my guy was talking about. It's like they working with an MSP. He already has some offshore Indians that he was working with. Now, they can be good. It just depends on the quality you get and like how cheap. Like if it's not super cheap and you paying them a good ways to like where they stay at, I think that's good. But when you just paying them whatever, it's normally like bad. And honestly, I think the biggest thing too is not comprehension, but translation problems. Like we can always tell them one thing and then they'll repeatedly ask us something that we believe is simple, but what they heard is probably not what that we thought we said. And so that's why whenever I'm handing something off to them, whatever, I'm being super specific on what to do. I write it out and I say it out. So it's like, hey, just do these things. If you follow this, you'll be okay. And then if you deviate from that, that's when issues arise and some happen. And that's why you got to always CYA when it comes to working with any team for that matter, whether it's outsourcing or internally, but particularly when working with them, you have to be very specific with them. Cause if you're in the interview process, they'll say, well, what's your experience with working with teams overseas? And that's when you got to tell them, if you haven't done it, they may not want to hire you because you don't have the experience working with them.
Yep, I could see it. All right. So a 17-year-old boy is under investigation for using AI to deepfake new images of at least 16 underage girls from his school. If I am not mistaken, he is from Madrid. Let me just confirm that. I'm pretty sure. Yes, he is from Madrid. Moving on with the article. The fakes were circulating on social media and being sold. Police confirmed the images were manipulated from real photos to make the girls appear completely naked. The teen is being investigated for corruption of minors. Spain does not yet have a law criminalizing AI-generated sexual deepfakes without consent, although a bill was introduced in March of this year. A similar incident in 2023 led to 15 minors getting probation for generating fake nudes of schoolgirls using AI. I think for me, the bigger picture here is this case really just showing the gap between how we are seeing technology evolve and then the legal protections that are being placed to ensure that we're keeping the technology as well as individuals safe. And in this case, because it does involve minors, I think that it's worth considering how much damage that can do to them from a psychological level. Yes, the image is fake. However, these are these young girls, 16 young girls, these are their actual faces. And so with AI becoming easier to use, not needing to know how to code, being able to create harmful content, obviously that does have real life consequences. So just because it's fake doesn't mean that those girls are not suffering any trauma behind this situation. I think it's important to consider AI ethics, digital consent, all of these things that go into this particular situation. I don't think it's really about banning AI, but more about the policies, the accountability, the protection, and all of that that we actually have in place, especially for minors. 16 young girls, that's a lot of young girls to be affected by this type of situation.
Yeah, I think it's only going to get worse. I don't know how old like the girls are, but I don't know. Like, I don't know the particulars, right? Because let's clearly, if you put, you know, these girls' faces on some older woman's body, they're going to know it's AI. But at the point where they started kind of being able to do pick body types and all this other stuff, like, it's going to get scary to where somebody could be mad. And I want to say that can probably count as a case as revenge. I'm just going to say a blank right there. I'm going to just leave a blank so people can kind of infer what I'm saying. I think that will count as that in the future, because you have malicious intent to try to embarrass and degrade somebody, even though that's not them.
Yep.
Or not only that, hey, we're going to take it a step further. Now that it's getting so sophisticated, I'm a person, I'm an angry woman, I'm an angry man. You know what? I want to ruin your life. Hey, so-and-so messed with your friend. Look at this video right here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're seeing some of that online with some of these athletes. It's not to that extent, but
yeah,
we're starting to see more videos be created where there's like a... Before, the videos were clearly AI, like you turning somebody from a human to a mermaid, right? But now you're seeing someone that's a deep fake go kiss someone else. Like, it is becoming a bit concerning and alarming for sure.
Yeah, so this is going to go back into why I feel like kids should not have unlimited access to computers, why you got to get out of that I'm your friend stage with your kids, because stuff that you don't know they're doing could cost them their future, and you need to sit them down and talk to them about this type of stuff, because that's not what you're supposed to do with it. You know, they probably think it's cool. A lot of these are actually conversations that go into having with kids, like, okay, hey, what's going on? What you feeling? I know you got hormones and all this other stuff. That's when it's going to come down to being parents. And with our epidemic of so many single parents in the U.S., I feel like how tricky this is going to be able to even get a grasp on what your child may or may not be doing if you have to work all the time, if you're not computer savvy, if you don't know how to block certain things, or they're looking at you while you're doing stuff. So it's a lot. Not to mention, there's only so much you can prevent them from doing at home. They go to school, it's even worse.
Yep.
So like, no matter what people try to like keep your kid in a bubble, you really can't do that. You need to just prepare them versus trying to protect them so much. That's like what you need to do. If not, if you try to keep them away from everything, they're going to gravitate to it the first time they can, just because you hadn't talked to them about it.
I agree with you. And I think you talked about this or touched on this last week when we filmed, but it's so difficult when you don't even know how to use these technologies, right? Like, it's difficult for you to say, get offline, and you don't know how to use the technologies, or you don't even know as a parent what to look for. I really love Cyber Ferrar, something. Let me look up her name so I don't get it right. But she makes a lot of content for parents, especially those who have kids who game, and she talk about the different protections and stuff.
Okay.
What is her name?
And that's why I like AT&T Smart Home or Smart Hub, my Netgear. But if I want to, okay, I'm going to take the TV offline. I'm going to take all this stuff offline. So now, hey, you should have listened. I told you, you know, be out the computer, or I just do a Destiny at like every whatever night time, so you can't be sneaking around on doing stuff on it. Because you don't have access to my stuff.
They have one of the best apps and securities out here from ISP. So that, like you said, you can see every device that's connected. Like you said, you can kick devices off. You can give them a time frame. There's a lot of control that you have with that app that you might not experience with other applications. But her name is Cyber Farida.
Okay. I think I've heard of her. So one of the ones that I actually want to talk about quickly is, for those that remember I've made a lot of content on Workday and how most of us don't like to apply to Workday jobs because most of the time we never get hit up for the job. So as you know, they were going through a lawsuit that had to do with discrimination, AI biases, and it was, I think the AI was basing everything off of what the current employment was at the company and being biased from selecting anybody that was different based on the things that you answer. And so there was an article that I found, and I'm just going to read the summary of it. And it said a recent news report has unveiled a A recent news report has unveiled a significant legal development concerning Workday and its relationship with HireScore AI. Specifically, Workday has received a legal mandate compelling it to disclose a comprehensive list of employers who have utilized HireScore's AI services. This directive stems from ongoing legal proceedings highlighting increasing scrutiny on the use of artificial intelligence in hiring practices. The legal requirement underscores a growing emphasis on transparency and accountability within the realm of algorithmic decision-making in the workplace. Further details regarding the scope of the disclosure, the legal entity behind the mandate, and the potential implications for both Workday and the listed employers are anticipated as the situation develops. And yeah, a lot of people are having a hard time, like I said, even getting interviews when they are working with Workday because of this. Like, never, let alone the fact that you got to make a whole new profile and upload your resume just to copy stuff that didn't get parsed in through Workday. It's a mess. I hate Workday.
I'm actually shocked that Workday hasn't taken heed to the negative publicity that they receive regarding their process, basically.
Yeah, I'm not, because even outside of that, what they use it for hiring, on the back end is so good for resources, showing your hierarchies, saying what trainings need to be. Like, the whole system on Workday on the back end is pretty fine. It's really just the hiring part, like the where you got to apply for jobs. That's the part that sucks to me, to be honest. But everything else, I don't have a problem on the back end of Workday, which is why, and I don't want to butcher my girl name, Shanika, right? I believe her name is pronounced Shanika, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we're going to have Shanika on to actually talk about HRIS and why I think it's a field that a lot of people are not sleeping on, because a lot of these companies are pretty much have monopolies on the employment side of the industry and on top of working at companies. So learning one of these systems, you could be paid. I actually aching it to being similar to being in EHR for healthcare. So all the different, what was it? Cerner, Epic, and it's a couple other ones. But that's what I feel like it's related to. Like, if you got Workday or Greenhouse, ADP, there's some other ones that people use out there. What is it? Smart Recruiters, all those different systems. I feel like that's what will kind of help you kind of stick out and still be able to have a job. Because she made a good point on one of her videos. She said, every time you see these layoffs, you never see them laying off HR, and you don't see them laying off the people that help onboarding and some other stuff. And I say, you know what? She's right. I don't see much of HR people getting laid off.
You're right. Unless they're recruiters.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Recruiters really don't fall under HR, though. Like, I forget where they fall under, which is interesting. That's actually something to probably, I'll probably will ask her or somebody else in HR, where do recruiters fall into the hierarchy of everything?
I have another article about Russia's largest airline. Called Aeroflot. They got hit with the cyber attack that caused a grounding of 60 plus flights. There were terabytes of internal data that were taken. It allegedly destroyed their critical systems and made their website crash. What was really crazy, and the reason why I actually picked this article, was because the bad actors ended up posting screenshots of their Active Directory access and some of the internal file shares within the company. And they also claimed to have the personal data of every passenger that ever flew. So that was a little bit alarming, at least to me. But I thought, we saw the airline industry get hit, but it wasn't really by an attacker. But I think that those are the types of things that we can anticipate to target some of our more critical sectors and industries. We know a lot of the technology that they're using is older and very legacy, very outdated. So we just hope to see that there are some increases in the use of technology and the security requirements for that sector, because it's a $1 billion industry.
Facts.
In or out. If you think about, if the top two airports in the U.S. were shut down for a week, how that would impact the economy?
Let's see some.
What are the top two airports?
I'm looking up the top 10, actually. So you got DFW, of course. Well, it's not on the list.
Really? It do say it right here. It say Dallas is number two.
Denver, Dallas, Orlando, Washington, Atlanta. Dallas, George Bush Intercontinental Airport, Salt Lake City, O'Hare, San Francisco, JFK, and Detroit. Yeah, because these are all pretty big cities, and I definitely remember. Dang. So Denver's annual passengers is 58.8 million, but the area in square kilometers is 137.26. So I wonder how Denver has a bigger airport than DFW, and DFW has...
It's because they got those underground tunnels and stuff.
Okay. They have 70 million annual passengers from in DFW. And then I've been into MCI's airport before. It's pretty big. 40 million passengers. And I haven't been to Washington Dulles or O'Hare.
What's MCI?
What's what?
O'Hare is...
Chicago.
What's MCI?
MCI is Orlando.
I've been to...
Not MCI, MCO. I'm O'Hare. Sorry. MCO.
I've been to O'Hare...
Yeah.
Count me out.
These abbreviations are bringing back some memories of the TSA help desk. Bringing back a lot of memories.
No, for real.
But while you were talking, I decided that the summary wasn't going to do me justice in going through this one. So this one may be an article that I need to just read word for word, bar for bar. But it's inside a real click fix attack, how this social engineering hack unfolds. ClickFix is a deceptive social engineering tactic. It's used by threat actors to manipulate unsuspecting users into unwittingly allowing a web page to silently populate the clipboard. Ultimately, the attacker is attempting to get a user to execute malicious code gathered from the browser and quietly placed into the user's clipboard on the host machine. Coined initially as ClickFix because the social engineering prompts were telling the user they ought to fix a problem with their browser and require the user to click an element. This term is now ascribed to any similar attack, one in which a user clicks an element, the page then populates the victim clipboard, and it instructs the user to paste the malicious code into the device's terminal. And I'll probably put the screenshots right here, but it's asking people to verify you are human. And then after that, and this is how you know something is scammy. Verification steps tells you to press the Windows plus R button, Control V, and then press Enter.
All right.
Right. The above screenshot shows an example ClickFix attack. Once the user clicks the fake captcha, the page silently populates the user's clipboard with malicious code. It then displays instructions for the user to prove they are human by pasting malicious code into the Windows Run dialog. And let's see, that's kind of what that is. And I want to double check how long this is. It's not super long, but this is a real world ClickFix attack. Let's see. A keep aware customer recently encountered a ClickFix attack in the wild. While browsing search engine results, the user clicked on a compromised site. And this is a thing, security tools, a lot of times, if you have a good tool stack, and like your security operations, they'll a lot of times will find, like, if somebody sent an email to a lot of these sites, they will probably mark it as malicious, because sometimes the sites are malicious at the time when somebody sends an email to the site. Granted, the site might not be inherently malicious, so you got to go through and check if there's like any malicious JavaScript or something on the site. But this site injected with malicious JavaScript delivered a ClickFix prompt, ultimately for the goal of deploying the Net Support Manager RAT backdoor. The user had clicked on a prompt allowing the page to populate the clipboard with malicious PowerShell and instructing the user to paste in the device's terminal. However, KeepAware identified, blocked, and warned the user of the suspicious commands the page attempted to populate the clipboard with, effectively preventing device compromise. The video below walks through what visitors experienced on this compromised site. a fake capture verification frame. Upon clicking the fake capture, malicious JavaScript updates the user's clipboard with malicious PowerShell code and prompts the user to paste it into the Windows Run dialog. Below is a walkthrough of what would have happened if KeepAware safeguards were not in place to limit the user's actions and clear the user clipboard. So I actually do want to look at this real quick. This is probably the first time we ever show something like this, so let's try it. So
if we take a look here at the compromise page, we can see that upon clicking this CAPTCHA, the user's clipboard is updated with malicious PowerShell code and is prompting the user to paste the code inside the Windows Run dialog. And as you can see here, this is the full malicious code that was copied onto the user's clipboard. Once executed in the Windows Run dialog, the PowerShell performs a series of downloads, deobfuscation, assembling malware on the host machine, and setting up persistence in the user's run registry key. As we can see here, this is what is downloaded, everything that's happening, and then ultimately the persistence mechanism in the user's run registry key. Now, taking a step back, ClickFix has been seen on both malicious and compromised web pages and has been used by multiple threat groups to gain access to victim machines, deploying malware and remote access trojans, including Async Rat, Luma Stealer, Darkgate Malware, Danabot Stealer, and more.
You want to know what's funny?
So I hit stop on that. But I want to show that because also a lot of times on my SOC questions, I ask people like, how would they look at a malicious process or whatever? So granted, this was only a minute, but if you had a lot of time to go through it, you could start looking at the PowerShell scripts and actually seeing what those different commands mean. And that's how you can start figuring out, okay, hey, I don't think it's supposed to be doing this. What web requests am I doing when this happened? Like anything you see invoking and it's already have you copying something is a no-go.
As soon as you started sharing that, my computer picked up on that was malicious.
Oh, Copilot?
No, my Aura.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I got Malwarebytes and Hitman Pro on here. But yeah, I'm kind of like dumb the article because I mean that kind of showed exactly what the rest of the article was going to talk about. But viewers, listeners, just if you clicking on anything that's having you copy and paste it, like don't do it. And that just reminds me, I'm going to touch on something very quickly for my creator friends or anybody really. I got this message that I was suspicious of from Duolingo. And it really is not from Duolingo. I just checked it and I looked at the email and I was like, whatever. And so I was like, cool, let me see what they're talking about. And so they sent me something like they want to do work with me, yada, yada, yada. Granted, flag one is you don't use my name. So that's how I know it's not legitimate. But I just wanted to see what they sent me. And as they sent me this whole spread, I started looking for like different things that you'll see in the email, like where you can say like something wrong with it. We are happy to discuss cooperation and confident that it will help you deliver high quality content while introducing your audience to Duolingo's innovative products. Now, what really got me when I actually just started looking at it, because I think I just said I'm interested early in the night or something like this, early in the morning, I wasn't really paying too much attention. They talking about the compensation details. So number one, it's a good, decent amount. Like anybody would jump at, that would get somebody to automatically do what it's actually going to do. Well, where they messed up at is what we have prepared for you. And they keep on misspelling enclosed. That's how I know it's fake. In that it says in the enclosed file, you will find agreement terms and a contract deal. But my issue is if you wanted to send me a file, all you gotta do is send me a PDF. Like when most people reach out to me to work with them, they send me a PDF. And it says to open the contract, use an archive tool like WinRAR if necessary, if running as administrator. Why would I need to run some as an admin? I'm not no fool. And then it says, what? Review the materials. It takes no more than 5 to 7 minutes. Send a completed contract and a reply message within 2 days. If you have any questions or suggestions, we'd be happy to discuss this. Like, get out of here. And they never put a name. Just keep on saying the Duolingo team. But I just thought that was funny because if you press for money, you might see, like, so the amount they were trying to offer was 5 G's. So you may see the 5 G's, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to jump on that.
Yes.
I could pull it up and just present it and make it easier.
Okay. Have you ever seen that second one?
You know what's funny? This video you're talking about is what we talked about last week.
The first one?
Yeah. Remember we're talking about, like, people need like a whole week to actually learn how to even use a computer when they onboard? Yep. Okay. Let's see what she's talking about. Let's go.
You need to be better teachers and better at onboarding, okay? I'm 2 months into a new role, and I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing because no one has been able to onboard me in any way that makes sense. And I don't know what I don't know. And that's the problem. Like, you might be good at your job, but unless you can teach it to someone else, you're useless. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And that is a bigger phenomenon that I try to tell a lot of entry peeps about. Some companies will train you. Some just going to throw you out there. Like, Goldman Sachs.
Agreed.
Ain't no training. This the problem. Figure it out. Literally. I work contracts. Hey, here's everything that you need to know. Important places and sites. 2 days. All right. You're in the queue at the end of day one. So when people always say, well, I did all these labs and all that stuff. Like, well, I can't get an entry-level security job. A lot of them don't have the time or resources to train you. So that's why it does benefit you to have enterprise experience from elsewhere. So you at least understand how a company is supposed to function just from an IT foundational level. When we're telling you that, it's not really trying to be gatekeeping. I think that's just where we are right now. 3 to 4 years ago, there was a little bit more lax. Money is a little bit more abundant, but now a lot of stuff has changed. And so that's why. But yeah, onboarding, typically when I go to a new company, I actually try to update onboarding as far as processes. Things I had issues with, I try to lay those all out and give them to management or if they put me in charge of the task. So it's easier for somebody. Like, I hate sending multiple requests for something. Give me an onboarding package that just gives me all my access. Like, it's terrible. So I definitely agree.
And I picked it because I believe that companies know that onboarding with their organizations is tough. And I think that organizations know that they might not have the best onboarding package or deal, but they also don't really know how to improve it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's they a really big company.
They do know. They just don't want to. If your company's big enough, why would they care? People still want to work here. That's I think that's the biggest thing. Hey, it don't matter. What's that song that go, if you want to go, baby? Dun, 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 dun. I can't remember. But One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. Whatever that song is, that's their motto.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, though, they do care. It's just too many resources. Even just trying to navigate through a company's HR website, right? The way that be indexed. I think that companies feel like it's easier said than done.
I found it. No, it's this one.
That's the country song?
It's this song right here. I think this is it. It's Keep On Rolling.
Yeah. Hey. If you want to go, baby. It's one thing that I found out.
Thing to have one woman, gotta have three. They tripping on that. But that's what they motto. That's why a lot of like companies don't really feel impact until it's it only work on the industries that got actual unions. When they unionize, like that trash in Philadelphia, people get some act right. I think
is that better?
What happened?
Is that better? Because I actually haven't seen it in a while online. Is the situation
I think they resolved. I got a friend. Well, I'm saying friend loosely, but an associate. We like boxing and stuff. He's in Philly. He's a trash man. So I think they agreed on something, but I think they agreed too early. They need to get paid more. Let me see. What's the next one we got? Boots order from the dark web.
I thought that this video was interesting.
But here we go.
For the fourth, I got another pair of boots mailed to me. When I got them, they were still kind of damp. They've mostly dried out by now. They're still kind of stuck to everything. But here's the creepy part. Obviously, yes, there is a VHS tape in this one. But in this one, there was this phone. When I found this phone, I thought maybe I was supposed to call someone using it. So I turned it on to see if there was any numbers or anything. Whoopsies. And there is a number. It's just listed as A. And when I call the number, my burner phone rings. And the number is the number that I had down as a Schumann. And obviously that's when I realized that this is the number I've been texting this whole time. And this is the phone that's been sending the messages, which is why I think I got to be done with this series. Yeah.
What is this, John Wick?
So I just stumbled across him on TikTok. He's actually a wrestler. I think WWE, if I'm not mistaken. I think his name is Shiloh. But I am praying that no kid gets curious and thinks that they can go get on the dark web and start doing things like that. He is in a fickle with some people on the dark web. That's not his first purchase that he's made there, but I think it's important to understand when you post stuff like that, especially in a TikTok community, like all the kids and curious teenagers and things like that that are on there. Don't get curious. That's nothing that you should be playing around with, nothing that you should be doing. You shouldn't be on the dark web. You shouldn't be ordering things on the dark web, especially not knowing what you're getting yourself into. I just thought it was a good public service announcement to make. You might see some people doing things like that, but just because you see people doing that doesn't mean it's for you.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm just a person. I don't believe nothing that I see no more. I just think he's making some interesting content. I don't really believe that he's texting these people on the dark web, because that's just not nothing to play with. People that know how to do that. So that's yes. Why I know, like, I don't really believe him. We don't believe you. You need more people. So that's how I feel about him in this moment. Let me see. Which one is this? I'm trying to see, did I react to Gabby's? Because Gabby's was a short one. Okay. Give me a second, because I know how to find exactly what I'm looking for. My friend Gabby, no way she codes. Here she is. She cool people. She's been on the show before. But she had an interesting TikTok that she had made the other day, and I was like, yo, this is a good live stream topic. So here it is.
Who keeps flirting with the guys that you're dating? So you blocked your friend who keeps flirting with the guys that you're dating.
Man, quit playing with me, man. No, for real, don't play like that.
But you let your coworkers steal and use your ideas in every meeting. Girl, be serious. You call it collaboration, but honestly, it's giving copy paste. Your ideas are always so great that they just have to repeat them, but never any credit. No follow-ups, no, oh, well, I was talking to Gabby and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what's worse, the fact that everyone else lets it happen or that you let it happen. I'm talking to you. I'm calling you out. Listen, being a team player doesn't mean that you're adding to everybody's ideas vault. If your coworkers can't think of anything original and are consistently stealing your ideas, then you and I both know that's a red flag, boo. So do me a favor and stop being humble. Correct it while you still can. Anyway, that's all I got for today. Smooches. And don't forget to add any other red flags you may be experiencing with the group.
So I agree, though. I agree. Because I think that's what people do all the time. Just tell you, one of the things people I learned that new to the field is like, everybody's not your friend. Like, I've only made a couple of friends when this came to work. Literally, that we've been friends almost close to 10 years now because of work. A lot of people, not so much. So don't even tell all your ideas. Keep them to yourself. I mean, even if, like, so the situation, I was thinking about my guy that got laid off. he ended up doing a lot of work for the company because he was a director, and they were moving to an MSP. And so he had to do this roadmap thing for them as a director, just for them to steal his roadmap and lay him off. But he said before he left, he sent copies of all his stuff to his personal email. But they'll do it. So I like to say, instead of talking about ideas, I'm going to send an email so I can always go back and say, hey, well, this was my idea. I came up with this. Or I have all these different things that are in my head that I just haven't said to nobody because I don't want to. I want to be the person that works and implements these things so I can have these for my, what's the thing called that you have to do? Your review. All the things that you completed, put them in your JIRA and work
on. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what happens. Like, you know, being the best don't always get you promoted. There's a lot of finesse that goes on, corporate greed, people doing whatever they can to make it to the top, and they don't care about who they trample over. I mean, it is what it is. So you got to learn how to be cutthroat and not be so nice. That's all.
I agree with you. I think it's important for you to definitely capture the ideas that you're sharing, the dates, the times, the attendees to those conversations. Just like you said, put it in writing so that it can't be refuted. Record that session so that if push ever comes to shove, you have some credibility behind you.
Yeah, not only that, but the other funny part about people stealing your work is if they didn't initially come up with it, they don't know about the problems that may arise and something you have already worked through. And so they keep on taking credit for your work. So, oh, yeah, you came up with that, right? And put them on the spot. So everybody start realizing, oh, this person is stealing. This is not his work. So that's how I feel about that. But I honestly think that today's like actually been like a shorter episode. We gave you a new format of like highlights versus the full 3,000 character articles. So in the comments, let us know if y'all prefer the longer or do y'all like the condensed version where we're like getting at the topics and we're not just, you know, mindlessly reading on the screen while y'all watching us read. So it was something I played around with today. The next time I think we're going to add, for a little bit of spice, have like a little AI moderator that just reads the different articles we want to like kind of talk about and see how much that spruces up the content. We can probably even make them a little avatar to be with us.
Yeah. That'd be third cool. person.
We can call her Molly like we on First Take or Joy Taylor. But last words to just leave y'all with is if you're in Houston, come out to the Blackest Tech Week conference and I'll be out there for a day or two. So hopefully we get to meet in person. And I think that's about it. Anything for you?
I'll be there too. Hope to see y'all there. If you're in town, thugging with your rounds, DM us and let us know.
And we got some nice guests that should surprise y'all to come on the show that we may even drop the week of Black is Tech Week. If we can do that, that'll be pretty cool as well. But as I always say, let's stay textual and we out. Peace.